Praise the Lord. Can you hear me okay? Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to thank the worship team. Aren't they an anointed group of young men and women that God is using to usher you into the presence of God? As they step off the stage, why don't we give them a great round of applause and thank the Lord for being used of God to bring you up to this moment. Somebody say, I'm not here by accident. If you're not willing to say it, I'm going to say it for you. You're not here by accident. It is a divine appointment that God had already pre-established before you even got here. Whether you recognize it or not, this is a divine moment that God orchestrated. He designed it. He planned it so that in this very night, you would have an encounter with the Holy Ghost. You would have an encounter with Jesus Christ. That you wouldn't leave the same way that you walked in. And some of you have already had that beautiful encounter through the worship experience, but there's something else that's left, some unfinished business for some of you that are here today. God has some unfinished business. He's blessed the young people. He blessed the juniors. He's blessed all the staff that spent the last two nights pouring into our young people, pouring into all of our junior-aged young men and women. And I just want to publicly thank everybody, and I would do you an injustice if I would try to mention everybody that helped out. But I know that there were some leaders that really, really stepped up, and they organized, and they planned, and they sacrificed. And I want to recognize at least a few people that I do remember, because I was looking around, and I saw people running everywhere the last 2 days, making sure that our young people had a spiritual encounter with God. From all the people that made these beautiful designs, you know, all these beautiful backdrops for this encounter that our young people had. Brother Pablo and his wife, Sister Christian. I know that Brother Marcus and his wife. I know Brother Edgar and his wife, Sister Luz. Yeah, let's give them a round of applause. It took a lot out of their time, their efforts, their energy, and we thank the Lord for that. Wow, what an encounter we're having right now. What an anointing. It's an anointed moment right here. I'm going to work my way around all of these props because I don't want to get, not that I like attention, but when you get to preaching, you just want God to touch everybody. And so I'm going to work my way around and make sure that I deliver the message that God put in my heart to you. But why don't you lift up your hands one more time? And why don't you ask the Holy Spirit to deal with you, speak to you, to allow you to have more encounters with Him on this beautiful night. Lord, we are humbled by this opportunity to come into the house of the Lord on this beautiful Sunday night. We're asking you, Lord, to deal with us. Go deep down into my heart, my spirit, my soul, even my body. Lord, let my heart open up to you today for healing, for deliverance, to be set free, and to have a beautiful, beautiful encounter between heaven and earth. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And if you're excited to be in the presence of the Lord, can you shout amen? Amen. All right, before you are seated, I know we prayed for all of our young people that went back to school in the month of August. But there's a devil out there that wants to kill, steal, and destroy all your children. He wants to chew them up, spit them out. He wants to twist their mind so that they never have an opportunity to know Jesus Christ. So I know we prayed for them once, but we're going to pray for them again because the year has begun and we want to start on the right foot. Would you lift up your hands one more time and pray for every young child, every adult, every young man, woman that's going to school right now. And the devil's there to try to indoctrinate and twist their thinking, twist their mind, twist their ideologies. But we come against every false lying devil's whisper that's trying to destroy the minds of our young people. We're praying for hedges of protection around our homes, our children's education, their schooling. We're praying that angels would surround them everywhere they go. In the hallways, in the classrooms, in the cafeterias, in the break rooms, everywhere and anywhere that our children walk. We're praying for your mighty hand to be upon them. And we are thanking you right now in advance for the victory over our kids, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. I'm going to ask you to do something before you sit down. I'm going to ask you to do two things. Number one, recognize that the enemy doesn't want you to be here. So even though you're in the building, he doesn't want you to be in it. He doesn't want you to get with it. He doesn't want you to be entertained by the presence of God. He doesn't want you to hear the voice of God. The devil is present to interfere in your life. You made it this far, you might as well kick him out all the way. You made it this far, you made it into the house of the Lord, and the devil didn't want you to be here. But you made it this far, you might as well go all the way. Somebody shout all the way. You might as well go all the way. You made it this far. And there's no telling what's going to happen to anybody once you leave this building. There's no telling what's going to happen in the next 30 minutes. The tomorrow is not promised to anybody, but today's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. That's number one. Recognize that the enemy doesn't want you to be here. Number two, recognize that God is really here. No, he's really, really here. Maybe you can't see him with your eyes, but he's here. He's here. He's here. And he's not far from you. He's right there with you. He's in this building. He's among us. One more time. If you recognize that Jesus Christ is here, you're not ashamed to say it. You're not ashamed to declare it. And you recognize that greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Would you clap your hands in honor of Jesus Christ? We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We welcome you today. All right, you can take your seats for a moment. I want to preach to you for just a good short while. And I'm going to share some things with you I haven't shared with anybody except some families in Madeira. And the message I have for you has a lot to do with what our young people dove into this week, which was fearless, being fearless, fearlessness, not allowing fear in your life. And I want to read from the book of Psalms chapter 23 because it's a beautiful, beautiful, life-changing, transformative scripture that you and I should engraft in our heart. And the Bible says, even though I walk through the darkest valley. Anybody here ever walk through a dark valley? Anybody here walking through a dark valley right now? Listen, I got good news for you. The Bible says, I will fear no evil. It's a lie of the devil. You don't have to be gripped by fear. Fear doesn't have to own you. Fear doesn't have to hold you handcuffed. The Bible says, this is the reason I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Jesus is with you. Come on, somebody. Jesus is with you. Your rod and your staff, they're going to comfort me. But listen, and listen real good to the next scripture. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Listen, God doesn't just want to remove fear from you. He wants you to learn how to celebrate in the midst of your darkest valley. He wants you to learn how to enjoy the presence of God even when the devil's throwing wicked darts at you. He's throwing rocks at you. He's slinging mud at you. He's setting traps for you. God wants you to learn and experience how to celebrate in the middle of your darkest valley. My title is this: the table has been set for you. And this little doodad here is not working. There you go. The table has been set for you. I'm going to read another scripture that I think might be on the next slide. It says Romans 8, 38 and 39. You're going to have to help me with the PowerPoint. Here we go. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. 2 Timothy 1, 12, the next slide says this: for this reason, this is the reason I also suffer these things, because I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What day? Until the day the Lord comes back for me, or until the day I leave this present world? I know in whom I have believed, and I don't have to live in fear. I'm going to share something with you I haven't shared with anybody. I've been dying to share lots of things that God did in the country of Bangladesh, and I just haven't had the opportunity because we've been running around quite a bit. But I felt from the Lord to share one testimony, just one. One powerful testimony that I'm going to share everywhere I go. When we went to Bangladesh a couple weeks ago, the original plan for the last couple of months was to go and take care of some of the administrative stuff going on over there, because we got a lot of home churches, we've got a lot of friendship groups, we got a lot of people that were trying to help administer the Word of God, and they needed some planning, some organizing, and we really needed to go and help them out. But my second reason was to visit a little girl named Nishita that many of you have been praying for, many of you gave for her medical expenses. Ever since I found out about what they did to that little girl, immediately my heart jumped and said, I need to go. I need to see her. I need to pray for her. I need to stand with her. We need to go there and be by her side. This is an 11-year-old girl. She's a junior. How many juniors do we have in here? Raise your hand. All the juniors, raise your hand. All the kids that were a part of this fearless camp experience. Yeah, this is for you. This is for you too. And if I share some things with you that are a little bit gruesome, please do the best you can to explain in a godly way what God is doing in the life of people that are suffering persecution. But my goal was to do those two things. It wasn't to go and do anything else. We needed to go and kind of realign everything that God's doing. And then I wanted to go to see this little girl and her family. I wanted to go and let her know that there are people that are praying for her and that she wasn't alone. And so ever since then, I know you've been praying and some of you have been giving, and man, it has turned my heart, my spirit inside out, and I vowed that our prayers collectively, along with your giving, would turn into what I heard from God, which was a testimony, that a testimony would come out of this test. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, then I just want to remind you by showing you this picture of this little girl whose name is Nishita. No, wrong video, not the video. Go back to the picture on the following slide. There's a picture of this little girl that I shared with many of you. And I'm going to retell the story, even though you've heard it once, because I've got an update for you. This little girl comes from a Hindu background. Her mother, her father, and one of their family have been hearing the gospel on the border of India and Bangladesh for about 6 months. And I need you to hear this very carefully. The reason they're hearing the gospel is because you helped sponsor someone to travel 3 hours twice a month to go and give them a Bible study. Hip hip hooray. Praise the Lord. But that came with a great price. And you and I ought to feel a sense of responsibility for what took place, both the good and the bad. And here's why I'm saying that. Because of your prayers and your giving and your willingness to help us send someone named Pastor Doyal to travel on a motorcycle twice a month to go and give these families Bible studies, to teach them how to worship one God, because in their culture, they believe in thousands of gods, and they don't even remember all the names of their gods. That's how convoluted and confusing it is. We come with a message that there is really only one God. And they begin to accept this gospel. And this little girl, a junior age, 11-year-old, started hearing the gospel. Started joining in on the worship and the praise in their little backyard, in their little front yard, in their little one-bedroom home. And every couple of weeks, they got together, and that's all they do. They'd have a very simple apostolic gathering. And about 5 or 6 months ago, it started getting better, and then it got worse. Because about 2.5 months ago, this little girl goes walking into her home. Her parents drop her off and they said, we'll be right back. And when they left, some radical Muslims came in. And I thought they came into the home. They actually found her outside. And they had plotted to torture and torment and even kill her. And here's what they did. One of those radicals had a bucket of fuel, oil of some sort. And he found this little girl and he dumped it on her back. And the other radical man had a torch with a flame on top of it. I know this sounds incredibly impossible, and who would do that? You know who would do that? The devil would do that. The devil in men, in women, will do that. Who would torture a little 11-year-old girl? The devil would. And he'll do it to you if he can. And he found this little girl, and one man poured the oil, and the other man lit a torch and lit her on fire. This little girl goes running down that little alleyway where they live, and nobody would help her. Nobody would help her. Why? You know why? Because of the gospel. Because of Jesus Christ. Because she's associating with Jesus Christ. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. Finally, one woman had mercy on her and tackled her and put the flames out. By then, the flames had gotten all over her back, her thighs, her legs, and started to wrap around her torso. And luckily, it didn't light her face on fire. They rushed her to the hospital where no one would help her because they have no medical experts that can help with burn victims. They had to put her on another little vehicle, and they took her another 45 minutes before they got to some place where they could help her. And many of you know the story, but I wanted to tell it to you again just for context, because that's a valley of shadow of darkness right there. If I've ever seen or heard of someone being in the valley of darkness and despair and pain, it's this little girl named Nishita. Some of you are going through a dark place right now. Some of you are being attacked by the devil and the enemy in your marriage, with your children, with your finances, with your health. And you feel like you're in a valley. I got good news for you. God wants to pull you out of the valley. God wants to take you out of darkness. God wants to deliver you from the terror of darkness by night. And he wants to lift you up and bring you out of a place that seems impossible. This seemed like an impossible situation. There's only about 6 people that are even gathering in the name of Jesus Christ in this entire region of Bangladesh in India. They're outnumbered by all of the other religious institutions. They're outnumbered by the culture, by the government, by everybody. They're outnumbered. This little girl is in pain, and she's hurting. And here's what I found out, that when they took her to the hospital and Mama showed up, you know what she did? She latched onto the doctor's ankles like this. And they're explaining it to me. And she's saying, please help. Please save her. Please do everything you can. Please, please, please. And she thinks she's going to die. And she would have died. Because not only is she burned, but she's bleeding. The burns were so bad in the portions of her torso that she's losing blood. And days later, nobody would give her blood. Everybody was scared to transfer a disease, and nobody would give her blood except our dear, beloved, fearless leader named Pastor Doyal. He said, I'll give her my blood. And he sat there and he says, you take all the blood you need. And he came back the next week or 2 weeks later. He says, you take the blood you need. And it wasn't just man. God was about to show up. God was about to do something in the life of this little girl. And that mother was pleading. There was no church to go to. There was no altar to come to. There were no groups of apostolics there, Pentecostals, to rally around her and to begin to speak in that heavenly language. There was nobody to sit there and lay hands on them. All they had was a memory of the Bible studies that they were given. All they had were those few experiences where they got to praise God and worship God and be amongst their little family in this isolated place along the border of India. Outnumbered, outpowered, no money, no finances, nobody to support them, nobody to help them. How did they make it out? The same way you're going to make it out. Listen to what I'm telling you today. The same way this family made it out is the same way you're going to make it out. And I'm going to tell you a few steps, a a few things they had to do to make it out. The Lord was about to set the table, everybody, in the presence of your enemies. The Lord was setting up the table. It looked bad, it looked gruesome, it looked horrible. And I'm going to tell you the first thing you've got to do if you're going to make it out and if you're going to reach the table that God has set for you. The first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to stay prayed up. You're going to have to stay prayed up. You're not going to pray once a week or once a month. Listen, you're going to have to pray every day. But what if I don't feel good? You need to pray. What if I'm sick? You need to pray. What if I'm tired because I worked the night shift? You're going to have to pray. What if I had a hard day? You're going to have to pray. What if everything's coming against me? That's especially when you're going to have to stay prayed up. You're going to have to pray. There's no way around it. But what if I've got somebody praying for me? That's good. But you've got to pray. But what if I'm only 14 years old? You're going to have to pray. What if I'm 9 years old? You're going to have to pray too. What if I'm 97 years old? You're going to have to stay prayed up. Prayer equals power. Prayer equals deliverance. Prayer equals being set free. Prayer equals a covering. Prayer equals anointing. You're going to have to stay prayed up. And you're going to have to refuse to fall into a spiritual coma. You're going to have to refuse to not fall into a spiritual blinded moment of being in a coma. We never stopped praying for Nishita from day one. We never stopped praying for her family from day one. We haven't stopped teaching them how to pray since day one. She's been getting some visitations. And you know what they do? You know what they do in that Muslim hospital? They pray. They pray openly. They pray in public. And they know they're outnumbered. And they know they're not supposed to be proselytizing and sharing the gospel. They know they shouldn't be setting the wrong example for the culture. And they pray anyway. You're going to have to pray even when it's not popular. You're going to have to pray even when it goes against the grain of the culture. You're going to have to pray even when social media and Hollywood and everything else that's throwing lies at you, even when they tell you you're on the wrong track, you and I are going to have to stay prayed up. Even when they mock you, even when they make fun of you, even when they try to distort your thinking, you're going to have to stay prayed up. Even when they tell you you're praying to an invisible what? An invisible who? You can't see him. You don't know where he's at. Where is he? You're praying to a ghost. Where is he? You're going to have to pray even when you can't see him. You're going to have to pray even sometimes when you can't feel him. You're going to have to pray even sometimes when it looks like you're in the valley and you're not quite on the mountaintop yet. You're going to have to pray when it's dark. You're going to have to pray when there's no light in sight. And if you stay prayed up, you're going to come out and you're going to make it to the table. You're going to make it to the table. In the book of Colossians 4, 2 and 3, the Bible says to pray diligently. Stay alert, the Bible says, with your eyes wide open. You've got to see this truth. You've got to see this revelation. You've got to believe and open up your spiritual eyes and say, I have seen the light. I have seen the truth. I have been believing lies all my life, but I can see that God is real. God is here. He hasn't left me. He hasn't forsaken me. Stay alert with your eyes wide open. And don't forget to pray. Paul was in jail when he said this. Listen, Paul was in jail. He wasn't treated very nice. He was in a dark, nasty, stinky, infested dungeon. And he said, don't forget to pray for us that God will open doors. Not the doors of a prison door. What doors was he praying for? You know what he was praying for while he was in that nasty jail? He said, I'm praying the doors would open so I can talk about the mystery of Jesus Christ even while I'm locked up in this jail. That's a man that was eating at the master's table while he was in darkness. That's a man that could see with his eyes wide open. That even when it looks dark, you can still eat at the master's table. There's a table of victory that God is preparing for everybody that's willing to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, even when it looks bad, even when it looks horrible, even when it looks like there's no way out. I love the song that says, even when you can't see him, he's still working. Even when you can't see him with your eyes, you have to know that Jesus is still working in your life. I want to show you another picture about confronting your fear. This next picture is a testimony about how God was revealing the table that he was setting. This little girl right here is the girl that was in the hospital almost dying. And when we told them that we were going to go visit them, we didn't tell them exactly what day, what time, because everything's crazy over there where you have to make decisions on the moment. And we had about a four-hour window. And we made a phone call and we sent messengers and we said, we're going to see Nisita. And along the way, we bought a couple of things for her. We bought a big teddy bear, a little purse. In that bag's a little dress. And we bought her a little umbrella, a little cartoon umbrella. And here's what I want to tell you that the Lord put in my spirit. You would think it's crazy to go back to the place where somebody was tormented, terrorized, threatened. And when we went, we knew that the threats are very real. We traveled 3 and 4 hours just to get there, to be there in person with this little family that finally went home. Now, they didn't go to a new home. They didn't go to a shelter. They didn't go to a secure place. They didn't go to a fortified place with security guards. They didn't go to somebody else's home to be protected. You know where they went? Right back where that little girl was terrorized. They went right back. And I said to myself, if this little girl can go back to a place where she was terrorized, certainly we can meet her there. And we brought her a couple of gifts and she came out the door. And we said, we came on behalf of the Apostolic Church of New Life. We came to bless you, to pray for you, to give you a few things, to encourage you and your mom and your dad and your family. And she came out of that door a little sheepish, a little shy. She didn't know what to do. She was pulling on her sleeves and she was pulling on her dress and she was looking around and she'd smile and then get nervous. And she didn't know what to do. She'd never seen foreigners in that little village. And she didn't know how to act. And we just smiled and said, we love you. We're here for you. And we took our time just kind of getting to know her. And this scripture came to mind. I'm going to read it to you. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. The mom and dad, they were besides themselves. They didn't even have any words to say. And they were just kind of quiet and they were just kind of looking and they were looking around and they didn't quite know how to act. And we said, it's okay. We came in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the Lord told me? He gave me a message that day. He said, mark the place where the devil has tormented you and then go right back there, that same place in your life. Pray, declare, rejoice, and fight back. In that place. That's what the Lord told me right there. He said, go right back. Don't run. If the devil's ever tormented you, if he's ever caused you any amount of pain and suffering, if he's ever tormented your mind with depression, he's ever tormented your body with affliction, he's ever messed with your marriage, your children, your finances, your home, your stability, if the devil's ever tried to torment you, don't run. Because that's the natural inclination that for humans is to run, to hide, to forget about it, to sweep it under the rug. And the Holy Ghost told me, you want victory? You want to eat at my table? Stay prayed up. But the second thing is, confront your fear. We went to this little house, and here's what I said. I said to the translator, I said, ask the family exactly where she was tormented. Because I heard it was in the back of her little house. He asked the family, Brother Vic wants to know where it happened. And they said, no, it happened in front of the porch. It happened right there on that clay ground. And we're sitting there, and they don't know why I'm asking, but I know why I'm asking. Because I want to pray in the place where she was tortured. I want to pray right there so that all the spiritual realm of darkness can see that greater is He that is in us, in that little girl, and the devil that's in. I wanted all of hell to see that we're not afraid to confront fear. Oh my goodness, you should have been there. I wish you could have been there. Because it was in broad daylight and people are poking their nose out those little windows. And there's no Christians there. And I asked permission because I don't want to put people in danger. I said, would you allow me to pray for your daughter, Nishita, 11 years old? They said, yes. Would you allow me to pray for her right here, right now? Yes. Would it be okay for me to lay my hands on her in the name of Jesus Christ publicly right here, right now? They said, yes. We brought her the gifts. She opened up the bag, and there was a little dress. And she walks inside her little one-bedroom house. And I said, where's she going? We want to pray. And he says, the translator said she wants to put her dress on. God was preparing the table, everybody. God was setting the table. So she comes back outside in a little dress that we bought her. A happy little girl, every time I'd look at her, she'd put her head down. And I said, I want to see her smile. But she would only smile when I look away. And I'd catch her smiling, and then she'd close up. So I kept my camera ready. I was camera ready. And I'm snapping, and every time I'd snap, she'd put her little head to the side. And then one time I caught her smiling. I caught this little smile. I caught the joy of the Lord, which has become her strength. I caught the joy that's in her. The Lord Himself will go before you and be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. I'm talking to somebody here today that's been afraid to go back. You're afraid to confront. You're afraid to confront that thing head on because it's scary. It's dark. It makes you nervous. It causes you to panic. It causes you to be afraid. And God is saying to you, get prayed up and they'll go and confront that fear. So the little video that started to play, I want you to play it now. And there's no sound on it, but I want to tell you that this is the place where she was tortured. This is the place where she was terrified. What you're going to see is the very place where we're standing, where she was terrorized by a group of radical people that hate Jesus Christ. And we began to lay hands on her in the mighty name of Jesus, and we prayed for health and protection, and we prayed that her family would be protected. But we also prayed that God would anoint her, that God would use her powerfully, and we prayed that the power of God would use her in that village to spread the gospel, even though she was tormented and terrorized. And even though she was left for dead, she allowed us. I want you to soak this in for a minute. I want you to freeze right there. What are you going through today that is so bad, so hard, so deep, so difficult that you can't confront it? Is anybody going through a near-death experience? Has anybody been terrorized, tormented, left for dead? Is any 11-year-old here ever gone through something like this, let alone the 30-year-olds, the 40-year-olds, the 50-year-olds, the 60-year-olds? Is there anything you're going through that's too hard for God? Is there anything that's too difficult for God to bring you out of? I'm not going to show you the other picture I've got. Because they let us see the burns on her torso. And they're grotesque. And I won't, if you want to see them in private, I'll let you see it. But I'm not going to show you here for the sake of some of the children. But it is grotesque. They don't have the same medical procedures. They don't have all the nice facilities. They don't have all the nice equipment. So you can just imagine how she's been left. And when she walked, she's walking with a little bit of a limp. In fact, she's kind of walking like this. She's happy, but she's still walking like this. And I said, what's wrong with her leg? They said there was some damage there. And what's wrong with her side? And they tried to explain it. And I don't know exactly what happened to the surgical procedures, but she's got a little limp, but she's smiling, everybody. She's smiling. And she still has to go back for more procedures. She still has to go back to get the continuation of the medical procedures that they have to do. It's not over, but she's still smiling. Are you catching the message? Her valley isn't over, but she's still smiling. Her problems aren't over, but she's still going to come and sit at the master's table. And God is still setting up that table in front of her enemies. And God still wants you and I to rejoice even in the midst of our trials and our troubles. I'm going to tell this story everywhere I go. I have committed, I'm going to share this testimony everywhere I go. Because the devil has ravaged an entire country, a world with fear. He's tormented people with fear. This was a reminder to me that if God can bring a little girl out of being terrorized right back to the place where it happened, and she could still smile, and she's still going through it, but she's going through her valley with God on her side. And God wants to remind you that that's exactly what He's doing to you. Let me tell you something else that happened. We had a celebration. We had a celebration. The third thing you have to do to have victory is to celebrate by faith. First, you stay prayed up. Second, you confront your fear. And don't forget to celebrate. Here's what happened. This is her family. That's Dad right there in the back, or on the right next to me. And he takes off running down that little aisleway, down that little dirt path. And I said, where's he going? All I saw was little huaraches doing this with dust flying. Now, he took off. I said, where's he going? They said, he's going to get us something. And he comes running, and he has this little pack of cookies. And I said, he didn't have to do that. I know they don't have any money. I know they're spending everything they got just to help this little girl out. They said, no, he wants to do this. Let him do it. So he takes his little pack of cookies and he opens them up and he's looking at us and he's nervous because he wants to do a nice job for us. And he puts the cookies out and he says, please, please. And he takes off again. And I said, where's he going? He says, he's going to get you something to drink. And he comes running back and he has a little bit of water and he says, please, please, please. Please. And right before that, they had no table, no chairs. They ran to the other family that's getting Bible studies. They ran inside. I don't think they asked for permission. And they brought this little plastic table out. They drug it out. And they set that little plastic table with all wobbly legs. And they set it right down. And then they ran into their house and brought two little plastic chairs. Two little flimsy chairs. And they're saying, sit, sit, please sit. And then they had this little old-fashioned fan running because it was monsoon season. It was hot. And they saw us sweating, so they bring a little fan. I said, you don't got to do all that. Put that fan away. Put the chairs away. We'll stand up with you. They said, no, please sit. Please sit. And they said, eat. And I took that little cookie, and I said, man, they want us to enjoy this moment. This is all they got. They're smiling. I said, if they can smile, so can I. And I'm going to eat this cookie. So I start eating that cookie. And I'm looking around. And then I realize we're in the middle of enemy territory. And I'm eating a cookie. So I grab my little water. Those cookies are dry back there. So I said, and it wasn't an Oreo, I'll tell you that. So I pick up my cookie and I finish it. I got my drink in my hand. I'm sitting on a plastic wobbly chair. I got this table that looks like it was just something that they drug out of the dump. And for today's message, you know what the Lord told me? That was a table I set before your enemies. That was a table I set before your enemies. Listen, listen. There was no fear. There was no fear. We're sitting there. There was no tomahawk steaks. There was no candles. There was no fine dining. I know when you hear that scripture that God will set a table before your enemies, it sounds like there's going to be some fine dining, doesn't it? But you know what? Even if God just puts a little cracker on the table, even just a cracker. Listen, even if God just puts a cracker, you know what that does? It warns all of the demonic spiritual realm that's around you that even one cookie on the master's table is enough to make them fear and squeal and run and run. You don't need everything to be perfect. Listen, you don't need everything to be perfect to sit at the master's table. Just one cracker. One cracker at the master's table is enough to destroy the works of the devil. You don't need to have all your finances perfect. You don't need to have your job that's perfect. You don't got to have the perfect house. You don't got to have the perfect situation. But can you see that there's a cracker on the table? Is there at least a cookie on the table? Did God put a little water on the table? A little Holy Ghost water? A little Holy Ghost? How many of you need to see a cracker on the table? Because I'm about to dish out some crackers. Who needs a cracker? Who needs a cracker? Come on now, who needs a cracker? Somebody needs a cracker right over there. Somebody needs a cracker right there. Somebody needs a cracker over there. And somebody needs a cracker way back there. You need to see that God has given you something on the table. You need to come and eat. Come and eat. Come and enjoy. Come and rejoice. Have a little sip. Come on, somebody. Rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice at the master's table. He's given you victory. Come on, somebody. Clap your hands to the Lord if he's giving you victory. Can you see a cracker? Can you see a cracker? Come on. Don't tell me that you can't see a cracker. Don't tell me that you can't see a cookie at the master's table. If you've got two hands, listen, there's people that have no hands. That's a cracker if I've ever seen one. He's giving you 2 feet. There's people without feet. That's a cracker if I've ever seen one. And you're complaining that you don't have this, that, and the other. God wants to invite you to the table. And when you begin to have a celebration in the presence of God, that's the table that God has set before your enemies. And if you'll learn to rejoice even when there's a cracker, all of hell will run from you. I promise they'll run from you. Listen, when we sat there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm eating the cracker, and I'm looking around. I saw a little chick. All of a sudden, my eyes opened up. I saw chickens that are usually chicken. They're scared. Walking right past me. They were calm. They were jumping around. I saw little chicks about this big, and they were walking by. And then I saw a little miniature cow. You know what I saw? I videotaped it. a little bird was sitting on its back, and that little Bangladesh cow was just moving around, and that little bird was just balancing itself. And I said, look at that peace. There's peace. And I'm telling you, I learned a lesson. You go back to where the devil has tormented you, celebrate the crackers in your life, the cookies, and the devil's going to flee. We left that place an hour or two later on a little wagon wheel. It was a little bike with a little wooden board. No luxury van, no luxury Ubers, no luxury anything. We sat there with our huaraches, hanging out this little van, this little piece of wood, and we're eating more cookies. And we just said, isn't the Lord good? The Lord told me, when this little girl got tormented, he said, with great persecution comes great revival. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. You want to know what happened? I'm just going to tell you one more thing that happened. The day before, or that morning that we went to see Nishita, just 2 or 3 hours earlier, I had no idea that God was going to do one of the greatest, pour out one of the greatest revivals I've seen. I went there to help organize and get people going, get people lined up so we can continue to grow our people. And I went there to see Nishita. But I remembered that 2 months prior, the Lord had said, with great persecution will come great revival. That morning, before we went there, we baptized 220 people in one day, one morning, in the name of Jesus Christ. 220 people that used to hate God, curse God, terrorize the things of God. And God poured out such a revival. And I believe it had to do a lot with great persecution will come a great revival. Don't be afraid of your persecution. Don't be afraid of the attacks of the enemy on your life. You know what it means? A revival is coming. A revival is coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And that's why the Bible says, consider it pure joy when the devil comes against you. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory. Praise team, come on up. How many of you know that you know deep inside God just talked to you? You know deep inside God just challenged you. You know deep inside where you got to go in your heart, in your spirit, in your mind today. You got to go somewhere. You got to confront something today. How many of you know what you got to go back to and not run from? How many of you know what God has challenged you to do on this beautiful night? I think you know. I think you know. Because I'll tell you what, I know what it is for me. I know what it is for me. And even I, all of us, we all got to go back to the things that have caused us fear, terror, intimidation. And you just got to go all out. And you got to be willing to say, if I perish, then I perish. I'm never going to forget the guts and the courage of this little girl, Nishita. I'll never forget that an 11-year-old girl challenged my faith. An 11-year-old girl who is not even baptized yet. She's not even baptized yet. She is learning about God, but she knows enough about Jesus Christ to put her trust in Him. And I asked the family one question. Are you still going to serve Jesus Christ after all this torment? And they all nodded their head. They said, yes, we are going to serve Jesus Christ. This is not enough to persuade us any other way. This persecution is not enough to persuade us to turn any other way. And that's why the Bible says this, and I'm going to leave you with this. And I read the scripture to you. That not even angels or principalities or powers, nor height, nor depth, nor breadth, nothing. If somebody say nothing, everybody say nothing. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Praise team, you can sing. I don't know how many of you have felt weak in your faith. You felt like you're maybe stagnant or even backsliding a little bit. I don't know how many of you feel a little weak. Maybe you feel like a little scared, a little cowardice has gotten a hold of us because of life circumstances. I'm here to challenge you today to help you. I want to help you because the devil is not as big as you think. He's not. If a cookie on the master's table can cause him to fear and flee and squeal, imagine what's going to happen to you when you start seeing everything that God has put on your table. Imagine what's going to happen when you start saying, Lord, thank you for my health. Thank you for my marriage. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my ministry. Thank you for my hands, my feet, my mouth. Thank you for allowing praise to come out of my lips. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers, my sisters, my pastor, my church. Thank you for my husband, my wife. Thank you, Lord, for the church. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible in my hands. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to pray and seek God. Thank you for letting me be here tonight. What's going to happen when you see what's on the table? You're on a whole nother level. Right now, I'm asking you to start with just one cookie. Maybe that's all you can see. But as you start opening your eyes, you're going to see an entire table filled with all the preparations that God has set before your enemies. Please stand. Please stand. Please stand. Before you come up to this altar, give me a second. Before you come up to this altar, close your eyes for a moment before you come up to this altar. I want to prepare you. Lord, I thank you for your word that will not return void and empty, but it will accomplish everything that you intended for it to do. I come against the lies and the resistance of the devil that would try to convince people not to be delivered tonight, not to be set free tonight. I come against the enemy that's trying to cause people to freeze, to stay frozen, to stay paralyzed in their chairs. I come against all of the attacks of the enemy that are trying to rob people of their victory. I break those chains. I break those chains. I break those lies in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you can open your eyes. And now I'm going to challenge you to come to this altar. You come and let God get a hold of you. Don't worry about anybody. Don't worry about your neighbors. Don't worry about who's behind you or in front of you. There is room at this altar for you. And at least invite someone. You don't have to force them, but at least invite them to sit at the master's table. Listen, there is a table right here. It's an invisible table that the Lord has set before your enemies. Why don't you come and enjoy it? Why don't you come and participate? There's room right here in the front. There's room over here on my right. Come on up.